Welcome to Seek Reality with your host, Roberta Grimes. Author and attorney Roberta Grimes will explore and illustrate how she, after an extraordinary experience of light in childhood, has discovered channels of communication to the afterlife and how these implications have an effect on our everyday lives. Please welcome the host of Seek Reality, Roberta Grimes.
Oh, hello, dear friends. This is, of course, Seek Reality, and I'm Roberta Grimes, and we have a great, great visit for you today. I think you're going to enjoy this. I'm so glad you could be here. There are a few people in the broad field of afterlife research that I've always wanted to meet. They're the pioneers, those who are going to have their names in the history books once the world understands what really is going on. And one of those people is Anabela Cardoso. She's a Portuguese career diplomat, and her longstanding interest in the field of electronic communication has made her a leader in this field that is only now really taking off. She began experimenting with instrumental transcommunication, or ITC, in 1998. In 2000, she founded the ITC Journal, and she's still its editor-in-chief. In 2005, she founded the ITC Journal Research Center in Galicia, Spain, and there, more formal scientific research into this field is now being done. In September of 2010, Anabela published Electronic Voices, Contact with Another Dimension, and that book also had an associated CD with examples of stuff that she had recorded. It was thrilling for me because that was the same month when The Fun of Dying was first published, so I felt I was immersing myself in this world. Her new book is Electronic Contact with the Dead. What do the voices tell us? And this is sort of as if you read her first book and my first book, this would be their love child. Just saying. She talks about what the dead tell us through electronic communication about where they are now and what's going on. Dr. Irvin Laszlo, and he's another of my rock star heroes, said that this really ambitious book. His book is ambitious. It's called What is Reality? Kind of a major topic. And he said about her book that it's a unique achievement of inestimable importance. He says the great, nearly unique virtue of Anabela Cardoso's book is that it tells us who we really are. It tells us clearly and without bias. It tells us the way it is. And wow, I think that's a very good summary. I would say the same thing. This brief book, it's very thin. You can just read it in an evening. It's one of the most important that I have ever read. I'm thrilled to welcome Anabela Cardoso. I'm so happy you're here, Anabela.
Thank you, Roberta. I'm happy to be with you, too. Certainly. My great pleasure.
I think people would like to know what got you started on this field, because you had a successful career as a diplomat. You were the first female Portuguese diplomat outside the country, right? You've had a very good sort of day job career.
Exactly. I was the first consul of Portugal, and it was in Providence, Rhode Island.
Wow.
That was my first posting. And I was the first woman consul, because until I started the diplomatic career, women were not allowed in the diplomatic career, so I was the first one, and I was consul in the States, in Rhode Island, many years ago, yes.
But what made you want to do this? What got you excited about this field?
Well, it was really a series of circumstances. You see, I have a friend who had lost her only son, and she was very attached to him. And he died in a sailing accident right here in Vigo, where I have a house and where I normally am. And she couldn't cope with it. And she tried to commit suicide three or four times, you know.
Oh.
So it was really very dramatic. Her husband watched over her all the time, but still, when she came to my house, because she knew I was interested in the topic, not of electronic communication, but of life beyond, let's say, in general, because I really had no contact or never had before with the so-called paranormal phenomena. So, but I was interested, yes. So she came to my house. She had asked one of my staff if she could speak with me. And I said, yes, of course. And when she came, she really looked like a ghost, but in the bad sense of the word, because she weighed some 39 kilograms, you know, and very, very thin, while she was rather tall woman. So she looked terrible. And I felt very sorry for her and for the whole story. And that's how it started. I myself had gone through grief, of course, like so many of us. But this was the real trigger. This woman here in Galicia, the northwest of Spain, where I was posted also.
My guest today is Annabella Cardoso, and she's telling us how she first got interested in this. She had a friend who was in terrible grief, and that sort of got you interested in talking with people in the afterlife, right, Annabella? And seeing whether you could help to ease her grief?
That's how it started, yeah. That's the trigger, yeah. That was the trigger, yeah.
And she was able to get her friend some messages, not his voice, though. Wasn't able to get her to hear his voice. But still, that's, I think, how many people get started on this, because this is such a painful thing, especially losing a child, and or just losing really any loved one can be very painful. And there's nothing better than being able to hear the voice or to get a message from so that you know is from someone that you used to think was dead. Now, let's begin by talking about some of the terms. What's ITC, instrumental transcommunication? What is that? How would you define it?
It is transcommunication, meaning communication beyond, yes, trans, through instruments. It was a term coined by Professor Ernst Senkovsky, a German physicist at the University of Mainz. And, well, it got widely known as such, ITC. It's electronically mediated, but, well, he called it instrumental transcommunication. So that's how it... And not only that, because before ITC, before Senkovsky picked up this term, it was known as electronic voice phenomena, but that was more limited. And it was during the time of Konstantin Braudiva that the voices, the electronic voices, became known as EVP. But that was only voices recorded on tape that you could not hear while you were recording, but only when you did playback, while ITC embraces a wide range of communications, like direct radio voices, for instance, my own, computer images, computer texts, and these are the most important, yeah.
And that's DRV. And I should just make it clear, we've been receiving this stuff, right, since the 70s at least, and it's a computer not attached to the internet that suddenly is giving you images and all kinds of of messages is pretty extraordinary. And that was one of the first ways that this material began to come through. Very exciting.
It was, yes. That was what happened in Luxembourg and Germany with respectively the Hartfischbach couple and Adolf Holmes in Germany, and that's what happened with them, really. Yeah,
the Hartfischbachs are legendary in this field.
Yeah.
They got some
they
of
are.
The best. What are they still doing this work, or
no,
why have they stopped?
You see, nobody knows about that. They totally retired from the public scene. They were very criticized. They were very defamed. Very unjustly, I must say.
Totally,
because
right.
I know real good people of a high intellectual and scientific level who attended their house and were present during their communication. So, but, well, you know, envy is everywhere, unfortunately. So they were very disgraced, very defamed, and at a certain point, they totally retired. And nobody really knows what they are doing. I mean, if they experiment or if they don't, if they get results, currently, or if they don't, nobody really knows.
It's my opinion that the problem is that they were a little ahead of their time. Were they working now, they would be celebrated worldwide. So I wish they would come back out of the closet again. But tell us about TimeStream. It's Rio de Tempo. Tell us about TimeStream.
Well, Rio de Tempo, you see, is like the Portuguese. I don't like to use these terms. They seem a little bit silly to me. But to facilitate things, it's like the Portuguese branch, let's put it this way, of Zeitstrom, which was translated into English as Time Stream. And Zeitstrom is the station in the next dimension that worked with the Hirsch Fischbach.
I see.
And Adolf Holmes also, an extremely important figure in ITC. So the Portuguese group is called Rio do Tempo, which means Rio is river and Tempo is time, yeah?
Yeah.
So, the first time I heard this, about this group, I had started to experiment, but had not yet received the direct radio voices, which are indeed very difficult to obtain. But somebody brought me from Luxembourg a tape. At the time, it was still a tape. And there was a message there from somebody called Carlos de Almeida, who spoke in Portuguese and identified himself as from the Portuguese group and called it Rio do Tempo. That was in Luxembourg. Huh. So I heard this very, very interested, as you can imagine. And sometime afterwards, I can't remember how many months, I used, from then on, from this lady who came from Luxembourg and showed me this recording, I started my own experiments calling for Rio do Tempo, because I knew it existed.
Yes.
And one day I got a reply, a direct radio voice from the radio, exactly from Carlos de Almeida, who had spoken in Luxembourg.
Yes, that's wonderful. I should say parenthetically that Portuguese has become a leading language in this field. I mean, we've talked about on this on Seek Reality. We've talked about Brazil and the wonderful work Sonia Rinaldi is doing there. She's very much ahead in the Western Hemisphere, and that's also Portuguese. So they seem to be liking using Portuguese as for communication. So it's lucky that's where you are.
Well, I suppose what I can say from my side is that, in my opinion, they use people who are in the disposition of working fully.
Yes.
So that is an important condition.
They can read you internally. They know who you are, and they knew that you were someone they could trust and work with. Absolutely right.
That is true. That's what they say, yeah.
So you worked with Carlos for a time, right? He gave you a lot of information.
Carlos de Almeida, yes.
He was my
main communicator at the beginning for 1 year or so. Yes, indeed. Yes, he was wonderful because his voice was powerful, loud, clear. I was here in my studio and I have a big garden. And at the end, a 3,000 square meter garden. And when he was speaking, I had the windows open and the voice could be heard at the other side of the garden, you see.
That's great. That's great.
So that was incredible, really.
Yes.
The power of that voice.
What did he tell you about himself? Anything?
He told me, well, he really replied to my questions. But somebody from the same group said that he had died in jail. I suppose one of the first Republican revolutions in Portugal, and that he was somebody who was always very interested and working for the sake of humanity. That's about it that I can remember, really.
When did he die? Do you know when he died or about when he died?
No. I really never asked that. It seems strange, but because what I never asked him that. Because really what I wanted the information about was that, to start with, I was not sure about the existence of this next world, as
yes.
you call it now. So,
yes.
Because I had nothing to do with this field, so it was a total surprise for me. So what I wanted to know were things about their lives and their world and their way of thinking. And so my questions were always on those subjects, not really about identification. And so just I asked, are you Carlos de Almeida? Yes, he said, yes, it's me. And one of the sessions when he spoke right at the beginning. So when from then on, I would put my questions, which were kind of metaphysical, because that's what I was interested in, you see.
Now, what do they tell you reality is, just briefly?
Reality, well, they tell me about their world, that their world's main value is the truth. The truth. They tell me that all beings in the world get into the next life,
including
the next
plants.
Dimension.
Yes, including Sorry? Plants. Including plants. I thought
including
that was fascinating.
Including plants, certainly minerals, all life.
But it's all somewhat conscious and alive, is what they said, which to me is consistent with what I had been learning, but I've not heard anybody else say it except for you when you're telling us what they said. Even minerals. Everything is consciousness, so everything is conscious.
Exactly. That's exactly what they said. Every being in the world has consciousness, yes.
Isn't that astonishing? Go ahead.
No, that's extremely interesting, I think, yeah.
Yes, it is, and it's revolutionary. I speculated about this very early in my research, but as I said, you're the first other person I've ever found who says the same thing, and you say it so definitively. Your book is full of groundbreaking information that fits with what we already know, but it's been a long time since I've read a book that had so much new information that was consistent with what we already know. I just think your book is groundbreaking.
Thank you, Roberta. very much. I appreciate it. But, you know, that information in that book, as you know, because you read it, it's not only mine. That information was conveyed to the Hirschfischbach and to Adolf Holmes in Germany through hundreds, well, at least around 300 computer texts, I mean, messages that would appear spontaneously written on his computer, one of the primitive computers that was not connected to anything which did not exist at the time anyway.
I'm speaking with Anabella Cardoso, who is one of the leading researchers in the world, branching now into what I think of as more my field. What is reality? How does it actually work? And her book is absolutely groundbreaking. It's called Electronic Contact with the Dead. What do the voices tell us? And we're learning a little bit about that, but there really isn't time in just one program to give you much information. I'd like, though, to try to give you some highlights. Anabella, what do the communicators tell us about why it's so difficult to communicate between their reality and ours?
You see, of course, two different dimensions. So if we can't even imagine what another dimension is at our present state of knowledge, we can just think how difficult it must be. They say there are several things. One of them, they must have permission. Permission,
yes,
is one important condition. When I speak of communication, this is important. I'm speaking of the direct radio voices, not of EVP voices, the ones that appear recorded, but of direct radio voices, the ones that will allow for a short dialogue. So the permission is necessary, one of the things. Secondly, permission to contact and permission to speak about certain issues.
Right. And what's interesting is if they can't talk about it, they will tell you they can't talk about it. So who is giving this permission? Have they told you that?
No, nobody. They have not told me or anybody who gives that permission. But it is, we might infer, I think, that it's higher beings of non-human nature, non-human nature, because one of the higher beings was the technician. Well, the experimenters in Luxembourg called him the technician, and he said about himself, "I was never an animal. I was never a man. I am of a different nature."
So, isn't that fascinating? Yes, fascinating.
It is. I myself recorded a voice with very similar characteristics to the typical voice of the technician that Hirschwiesbach recorded several times, because he was the one who directed these extraordinary communications in Luxembourg. And I recorded it too, once in my studio. But interestingly, you know, I was fascinated by this figure, the technician, because the things that the knowledge he conveyed to these experimenters,
yes,
long,
yes,
before me, was so groundbreaking, as you say. I was fascinated by this figure. So once I asked my communicators, "I would so much like to speak with the technician," and they replied something that surprised me so much. They said, "But you have spoken with him many times."
Really?
Yeah. you see, but not with the typical voice of the technician, which I know very well, because it was like a very fine, sharp, robotized voice. No, they told me, "You have spoken with him many times, but that typical voice of the technician in Luxembourg, I only recorded once," you see. So it means that he has probably spoken with me with different kinds of voices,
yes,
because the voices are just constructed.
And they said that, I mean, one of the things you say, which is interesting to me, is that their voices tend to be more mechanical. Now, we know that with direct voice mediums, where they make a voice box that's there in the air that's used by people out of bodies, that often those voices sound pretty accurate because they can customize the voice box. But I guess without that, They still use thoughts, though, to create the words, right? What have they told you about the process of speaking? They don't, because, of course, they don't have voice boxes. They don't have bodies.
No, of course not. They say, and this was, again, the technician in Luxembourg, that they try to synthesize. The voices are very obviously formed by the noise, in this case, the existing noise, be it in the environment,
yes,
in the case of the EVP, or be it in the radio, the so-called white noise. They are formed with this noise, constructed with this noise. So the technician said in Luxembourg, they try to synthesize similar voices to the ones of the same people while alive here, but that it was very difficult. Sometimes they achieve it, others don't. For instance, I have voices similar to my father's voice. Some other voices, which identify as my father, are not similar. They are just neutral, you see?
Yes.
But there are a few which are similar. I can feel his intonation. Others are not, yeah?
So That's fascinating.
Yes, and difficult, very difficult. Because when Carlos de Almeida stopped speaking, and he told me, before he stopped speaking, he told me one day, I'm ready to go, I'm ready to leave. That was the sentence. I'm ready to depart. And after he left, the voices totally changed, because then other voices came, and then it was my family who started communicating with me, no longer Carlos de Almeida, and the other very good voices of Rio do Tempo, but my family, identifying themselves as my own family with names and surnames. And the quality of the voices was so much less. And I asked them one day, but didn't Carlos de Almeida convey his learning to you? And they replied something that makes a lot of sense. Yes, his knowledge and learning, yes, but not his experience.
Well, so one thing I'd like you to do is to talk briefly about what they say about where they are now, these people who have been communicating. Where are they now? What's it like there?
They define it in a very simple and short sentence. We are in heaven. Everything is wonderful here. But that's what they have told me many times. Not only me, other like the Archfishbach, Adolf Holmes and others, the Marcello Bacci in Italy. But they say they use this expression, we are in heaven. Let's give thanks. We are very happy. Or they are very happy, speaking about my dogs, for instance. I asked many times, they themselves have spoken with me, giving their names and everything, with human voices, yeah?
Isn't that funny? Could we just dwell on that for a second? Because I hear from people all the time who are desperate about the loss of their dogs. Your dogs who had transitioned actually talked to you in a human voice.
Exactly. They do. They did, and they do still today. Sometimes. I never know when that's going to happen, of course, yeah.
Isn't that amazing? Just some reassurance, everyone. All our pets are there, and they're fine, and they're happy, and they are able to communicate
yes,
with us.
I had a dog who died a couple of years ago, and I had called him Rio. I had found him abandoned and starving on a beach, brought him home, and called him Rio. And he lived here some 14 years, and he died recently, a couple of years ago. And, of course, I always get very, very sad because I adore these dogs, really. I must say,
yes.
I have had so many dogs, and I still shelter abandoned dogs and so on, and I get so attached to them. But I asked a couple of weeks later, or 1 month or so, how is Rio? And the voice, very clear, loud voice said, Rio is in heaven. He's happy. So this is wonderful. And my dog, Nisha, my Doberman dog, she was one of my first dogs, as of my own, not my family, but of my own. So Nisha spoke with me, a rather longish dialogue. And she said, I am Nisha. I am Nisha. And I asked, Mommy, because she had puppies and she was from India. And she came to me when I lived in India as a puppy. And I used to speak with her in English because of this, of the people, the staff that worked at my house. So I said, "Mommy," and she said, "Yes." See, she said. So this was wonderful.
Yeah, that's. I think that's very reassuring. I hope it is for people who have pets. But tell us, what has most surprised you about what you've learned from these people speaking to you this way? What surprised you most?
What surprised me most was really for what I have in my this book, Electronic Contact with the Dead, the survival of all matter. Yeah.
Yes.
Not only biological, let alone plants. I think plants are superior beings, of course, but of all matter. That is, I have to say, what surprised me most.
Yeah, it surprises me too. And it surprises me to find confirmation because as I say, early on, I supposed that had to be true, but you're the first person I've ever heard who found evidence of it. And I think that's very, very exciting. One of the great things about this field is that you never stop learning. There's so much to learn. And that's what I love most about your book. You actually taught me some things I hadn't known before. Tell me what thrills you most about what you've learned. What excites you most?
Well, everything excites me, really. The first was to get this reassurance about survival, not so much for me, but for the ones I love, my greatly beloved dogs included, of course. And so this was wonderful. And I didn't expect it to happen. And I didn't know about it because this is not my field, you know, as you know very well. So,
yes.
So this was stunning, yes? And this first voice, which was Carlos de Almeida, that suddenly started replying to me from the radio, directly from the radio, had an effect on me that caused a real shock to me because I didn't believe this was possible.
To tell you the truth, Annabella, I have a friend who is now a sixth-level being, and he confirms there all of this but takes us a bit farther. And I feel, talking to you, I feel as if I sort of am talking a bit to him as well. This is such wonderful confirmation that all of this is real. Now,
how wonderful, really, what you are telling me, yeah.
Talk a little bit about that,
yes.
Well, no, I can confirm that it's real. I mean, I've been spending my life studying this. Talk a little bit about what you've learned and what you really take away that maybe it transforms your life in ways. What have you learned about who we really are, what reality is, all of that?
Well, I one of my first conclusions is that appearances, including the physical body and other appearances, are really totally unimportant. The essence is the fundamental structure of being. So the world we live in is a world of appearances, as we all know, and this is totally false. They say our world is of the soul, and it which has different values, something like this. And as I said, the truth is the main value of their world. I'm speaking of the world of my communicators, because that is the one I have contact with. There are so many other worlds, they also tell me, according to the level of consciousness of the beings. And
yes,
be it a plant, be it an animal, or be it a human animal, according to the level of consciousness, so are the worlds, the future worlds. in other dimensions. So there are many worlds. That's another thing, depending on the level, state of consciousness of the beings that that inhabit it, to put it this way. And also they say, and this is in my communicator's world, that they work always together. It is the group soul, which is a group of all the beings, or really it's a group of affinities. It comprises all beings, known and unknown to you in this life, which share your interests, values, desires, and so on. And this is a fundamental piece in the next world, they tell me. You see, one day a voice that had identified as my father with name and surname, I asked who is speaking, and he said, it's João Cardoso. My father's name is João Cardoso, very loudly and very clearly. Another voice immediately came and scolded him, saying, you don't have to say that, only Rio do Tempo. So he should not have said his name.
Right.
You know,
right.
Only Rio do Tempo, because it is a collective work, they say. And one day Carlos de Almeida said, it's your father speaking all together.
Yes, I think that's a very important point. They really are much more united in love and in service there among, in fact, in a sense, they're all one being. We are also all one being. Here, we just don't perceive it at all. We perceive separation.
Exactly.
But there they don't perceive separation in the same way. So it's very uplifting to hear from them these things, to hear from them that where we're going, there isn't division. This is all an illusion. It's part of the earth illusion only. And when we
exactly.
get there, we will be united too with everyone.
Exactly. And you see, because the thoughts of all the beings in that world are transparent to each other.
Yes, that's so important. Yes. Yes. There are no secrets. It's not possible to keep a secret.
No secrets.
Everyone else is mine. Yes.
It's like an internet, let's say.
Yes.
Feel it. Yeah.
That's right. An internet of experience, thought, of feeling. Absolutely right. But you see, everyone, how beautiful this all is. I mean, here, it's people can get very discouraged on Earth, but there's nothing to be discouraged about. We are all one being. We're having this strange, brief experience here so we can learn and grow spiritually. But then when we go home, we are all part of one being and very happy to be. One of the things your people, your communicators said over and over again about was how wonderful it was, how happy they were. It's like nobody ever has a down day. It's amazing.
Exactly. True. That's exactly what they say. But you were speaking and I was thinking that we should also here in this world be one being with our planet.
Yes. You know? Yeah. Well, that's how it is. Actually, we just don't realize that. What are you working on now? What is it are you still doing this work?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm doing I'm always doing this work. Yes. I'm now writing another book, which is called Impressions and Reflections, my own, about all this. And I've written a short manual, a simple one. Things should be simple, really, of how to experiment electronically.
Is that available for people?
No, it's not yet published. I did not yet publish it. It's written and finished. But now, because this book was now launched, this one that you are so kindly talking about, Electronic Contact with the Dead. So, and I'm busy with other things, also the ITC Journal, my own communications, and this other book, Impressions and Reflections, that I'm writing. So I didn't yet have the time to show it to an editor, not yet, but I will soon, I suppose.
Now, how can people reach you, and what is your website?
My website is itcjournal.org.
Okay. itcjournal.org. Yeah. Okay, that's great.
O-R-G.
And can people reach you through your website if they want to ask you questions?
Yes, yes. Oh, yes, there is an email address there. Yes, certainly.
This is wonderful. Well, I'm so sorry we've run out of time, Annabella, but I think we're going to want to do this again because you have so much more to tell us. Thank you for joining us, and please consider yourself hugged all the way to Spain.
Thank you, Roberta. The same to you and to the United States, where I spent some wonderful 5 years of my life, you know. I really enjoyed being there, and I toured the whole of the United States by car. I didn't go to the island, but all the states I've been all over, and I love them, especially the Grand Canyon. I love it. The Yellowstone National Park, you know. I adore those parks of yours. Yeah, I really do. Anyway, thank you so much.
And we will talk again soon. And meanwhile,
you know
that you've been listening to Seek Reality with Roberta Grimes, and I'm so glad you could be with us today. We've had such a wonderful time. Please never forget that you are a powerful, eternal being. You never began, you never will end. And when you really get what that means is we'll change your life positively in every way. Next week, we'll be talking with Adelaide Wolf. She's a filmmaker, and she is rocking the afterlife research community staid little world because she's doing a documentary on the afterlife and its researchers, and she'll have her crew out in force at the upcoming Afterlife Research and Education Institute's 2017 Scottsdale Symposium. She's just a fascinating woman. She's an enrolled member of the Omaha Tribe, a talent agent, a writer, a producer, and an entertainment industry veteran. She has more than 2 decades of experience, and I'm very excited to talk with her and find out what got her interested in our field. This week, of course, we've been speaking with Portuguese career diplomat and instrumental transcommunication senior expert, Annabella Cardoso. I'm serious about this. Her new book is Electronic Contact with the Dead, What Do the Voices Tell Us? I urge you to write this book. She's one of the very few people, after I've spent 50 years doing this, who actually has taught me some additional things about my own field from her book. It's terrific, and it has a wonderful set of resources in the back. So if this is an area that you'd like to maybe think more about, her book is a great way to get started on the whole field of electronic communications, which is very exciting. Meanwhile, of course, as always, I very much appreciate the fact that you spend time with me every week. I look forward to our conversations. Please enjoy and make the most of this coming week and our one shared reality, knowing that you in particular, are a powerful, eternal being, and you are infinitely loved.